Well, if you have your Bibles, invite you to take them. We've been studying together on Sunday evenings, the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And tonight we're in chapter 3 and finishing up that chapter in verses 6 through 13. You know, when you sit on committees and you ask young men and women theological questions, immediately when you think about 1 Thessalonians, you really don't think a whole lot except about maybe chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians and so on. We're going to get there, but it is wonderful to acquaint yourself with the beginning chapters of 1 Thessalonians and how Paul, the apostle, and Silvanus and Timothy really loved the believers there in Thessalonica and how they were, these believers were really going through it. And as you study Acts, you know, Paul was not really there a long time. He kind of had to come in, give the gospel. God caused great fruit. A church was born, but he had to get out because persecution was following him and he was on the run, so to speak. But he has a heart filled with affection for these believers. Now, some scholars think maybe it was because there was a rumor going around that, the Apostle Paul, you know, he came in quickly and he left quickly. He doesn't really care about you believers. And Paul was concerned about that, and that kind of could have been some of the motivation why he wrote this letter and how he starts out. As we recall in chapter 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he was just filled with thanksgiving over and over again for them. We come to this portion of the word, and in verses 6 through 13, we have this really encouraging report from Timothy, and I would title it as believers in Christ, be encouraged, be encouraged. Growing up, I liked to watch Sesame Street. I confess, I liked Sesame Street. I liked, Ernie and Bert. I liked, who was it in the garbage can? Oscar, you know, and then you had Big Bird and so on. And they would always do one of those things. One of these things doesn't belong here. One of these things isn't the same. But, well, in these pictures, there is kind of one word that kind of portrays these four pictures. You have a coach, or maybe it's the wife encouraging the husband to do push-ups and get into shape, or the trainer doing that. You have friends really congratulating the jogger who's just come in from the race. And then you have maybe a mom with her daughter giving words of encouragement. And then maybe someone else is giving some words of encouragement to someone who's down and low and lonely. All speaking about this word, encouragement, encouragement. The definition of encouragement by the dictionary says to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence, to stimulate by assistance or approval, to promote, advance, or foster. Allison Dynstam said this about encouragement. She says, every day, good things happen that go unnoticed. Even small victories like getting a good night's rest, drinking the perfect cup of coffee, enjoying a sunset on a warm summer's day. All those little things can become positive experiences to share with others. In doing so, we not only lift our own spirits, but give those around us a chance to experience that joy with us. In this way, we all can also say actively that they become us. In this way, we all can have that antidote to bad news through sharing positive experiences with others. It's interesting. A lot of people have talked about encourage. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, our chief want is someone who will inspire us to be what we know we could be. Stephen Covey, in his motivational writing, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, said this: treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can and should be, and he will become as he can and should be. Interesting. And Roy Bennett, in his book, The Light in the Heart, says this: be an encourager. When you encourage others, you boost their self-esteem, enhance their self-confidence, make them work harder, lift their spirits, and make them successful in their endeavors. Encouragement goes straight to the heart and is always available. Be an encourager always. Be an encourager always. There have been many studies in even secular world, psychology, and so on, that talks about the effects of negative news as well as positive news. Negative versus positive. And do you know what causes more anxiety and more stress? Bad news. Negative news. Our whole world has been filled with the pandemic lately. You turn on TV, you hear the news, it fills your mind, it fills maybe your heart, and you get excited and happy and joyful over it. No, we become discouraged, we become grumpy, we become filled with stress. Paul says here in verse 6 these words. He says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? Verse 10, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Timothy comes back to Paul and shares some encouraging words from others. Encouragement from others in verses 6 through 7. He says, Timothy has come. He's told us about you. He's come to us from you. And this is what he said. Oh, those Thessalonians, Paul, you wouldn't believe how they behaved. They had this open potluck dinner, and man, they were so selfish. And they were so greedy and they were just so hungry. They didn't care about anyone. No, he didn't say anything like that. He says, they have come to us from you and has brought us what? Good news. What kind of good news? The good news of their faith. That they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They love him. In fact, the testimony that he has been sharing all throughout in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and even chapter 3 about them, he says that we know, brothers, in chapter 1, verse 4, that you are loved by God. He's chosen you. Our gospel came to you not only in word but in power in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you. And you became, good news, imitators of us and of the Lord. You received the word in what? In much affliction, not in a joyful time, but in a hard time. And he's saying, we've heard this, and now Timothy is confirming this good news, and we are encouraged. And he says, we're encouraged by your faith. And then he goes on, we're encouraged by your love. Your love. Timothy has told us about your love. your love for all the saints. Not only, as he said there in chapter 1, you became imitators of us, but you, in verse 7 of chapter 1, going back there again, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Wow. You become an example to others because of your faith and of your love. And then Timothy's reported that. And he's also said, you've always remember us. And how do you remember us? Isn't it nice to be remembered? I remember my mom when she was getting older, and you know, we were talking about bringing her down to South Florida. We were trying to reconstruct part of our house to making it like a mother's suite, or as my wife would say, a mother-in-law suite, and that she would be there. And she fell and broke her hip, and of course, the Lord had another idea. I have a theory that she kind of prayed and said, oh, Father, take me home. And the Lord said, okay, my daughter, come on home. And boom, she went home before she could move down with us. But before she passed, she whispered to me something. And what she whispered was this. She said, don't forget me. Please remember me. Remember me. And I kind of chuckled. I said, Mom, how are you going to think? I mean, why are you thinking that way? I'm going to always remember you. Don't you remember when you go throughout your day some of the things that your parents do or did and you find yourself doing? My mom would leave half-filled coffee cups around the house and forget where she put them. Sometimes I find myself doing some of those silly things. But in that moment, I remember her. Paul is so excited by the encouragement, the good news he's received from Timothy. He says, we are encouraged by your faith. We're encouraged by your love. We're encouraged that you remember us. And how do you remember us? He says, you remember us kindly. Much affection, kindly. I remember you. Oh, yeah, I remember you. You showed us the way to the Lord. I remember you, how you were so excited to worship the Lord. I remember you, the joy and the fragrance of Christ you gave off because you loved Jesus. He says, and you always remember us and you long to see us. So Paul, as we looked last time, he had this great affection wanting to be with them in chapter 3. And he says that. And he says, we could bear it no longer. We were willing to stay. And he says, I was torn away from you and we wanted to come again and again. In chapter 2, the end there, verse 18, but Satan hindered us. But you are our hope and our joy and our glory. But it was for your good that we stayed here. And so we sent Timothy. And now Timothy's come back, and we've longed to see you. And Paul finds out that these Thessalonian believers long to see Paul and Silvanus. We long to see you. Wow. And then verse 7, he says, then for this reason, in all our distress that he's going through, and maybe Paul, I don't know if he was a worrier, but maybe he was concerned deeply for these believers in all our distress and affliction, he says. In all our distress and affliction, he's concerned about their growth in the Lord. He's concerned about, are they surviving under the persecution? Are they thriving under the persecution? Are they growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through their sufferings? He says, so in all our distress and affliction, sometimes do you worry about loved ones and others to the point that you can't sleep at night, that you're filled with stress and anxiety, that you are concerned about them? But he says, in all our distress and affliction, we have been what? Comforted. Comforted. Parakaleo. Comforted. To ask. We've been comforted. We've been encouraged. We've been exhorted. We've been urged. We've been just begging to hear good stuff about you. We've been pleading in our prayer life to God concerning you. And so we have been cheered And so, as the Amplified says of this version, "For this reason, brothers and sisters, during all our distress and suffering, we have been comforted and greatly encouraged about you because of your faith, your unwavering trust in God, placing yourselves completely in His loving hands." Wow. Paul says, man, I am just been encouraged. Have you ever heard good news about someone in their walk with the Lord, that they're growing in Christ, and it just, as we say in a southern way, blesses your socks off? Right? You're just encouraged by that, strengthened by that. He says, I'm encouraged of your faith, because you are totally trusting in the Lord. Well, we know then that he moves on and he's not only encouraged from Timothy's report, but he's encouraged by their ability to encourage others to grow in faith. They're growing in their faith. Verse 8, he says, "For now we live." We live. We're no longer distressed over it, but because we've heard the good news about your walk with Christ, it just kind of energizes us and makes us come alive. We live. "For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord." That means if you're firmly established in the Lord, you're not wavering, your feet are firmly planted on the rock, you're not in sinking sand. Verse 9, "For what thanksgiving then can we return to God for you?" In other words, what can we say to God? We're so thankful to God. Our hearts are overjoyed and filled with this encouragement. What could we say to God? What thanksgiving can we return to God for you? "For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God." We're just bubbling over. We're bubbling over. And then verse 10, "So as we pray most earnestly night and day, we are longing," there's that affection again, "that we may see you face to face and then encourage you more in person to supply what is lacking in your faith." Wow. So we know that you are growing in such a way in the Lord, but we want to come alongside and encourage you more, maybe to help supply your faith all the more, to grow deeper with Christ, to grow stronger with Christ. But because of what we've heard, we live. We live. When you're around those people, you know, there are kind of those people who energize you. They're positive, they're joyful, they're encouragers. And then there are those individuals that are, well, drain you. No, there's nobody that you know that drains you, exhausts you, wears you out. Oh, just puts you down. Is there? No, not at all, right? Paul's saying, these believers here, man, I'm just so encouraged. I'm energized by them. I'm lifted up by them. I've shared this before. There are two individuals in past ministry who immediately comes to my heart and mind about how I would go to minister to them, and I would leave like walking up on cloud nine. One was Mrs. Minder, Lorraine Minder, the wife of the founder of Lake Swan Camp, our district camp, and she was a godly woman. And she was a widow, and she lived on Lake Swan Camp, and I'd go over to encourage her to make sure that she wasn't lonely, that she was, you know, strengthened and knew that the people at the camp cared about her. And I would just walk out of her presence, just walking on cloud nine because of her walk with God. She just loved the Lord, and she just took all the infirmities that she was dealing with or the situation that she was hearing about, the camp and the struggles. She would almost take it with a grain of salt and says, well, the Lord's got it. He's going to take care of it because it's His. And I would be encouraged by her faith in the Lord. I remember one of the times I was pastoring down South Florida and visited one of our elderly ladies who was rushed to the emergency room because she had a stroke. and her name was Eunice Baxter, and she was laying in the ER there on the bed as I came in, and of course all the things were hooked up, and she saw me, and she looked at me, and she said, "Oh, Pastor," and because her speech was slurred, but she said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm so thankful you are here. I want to encourage you. So let me pray for you." And I've shared this before when Paul Andrews, before he graduated to glory, said the same thing to me. He said two things. He said, "I came to see him as he was in hospice," and he said, "Oh, this is my last stop before I get to see Jesus. Isn't that great?" And then I prayed for him. I said, "Paul, I want to pray for you." And then he said, "No, now let me pray for you, and I'll pray for the church." And he prayed for all of us. That's like, I'm walking 6 feet high because of the encouragement of the believers in Christ. Paul was longing to be with them in verse 10. He was longing to supply what was lacking in their faith. But he realized something in verse 11. And that was that God is the source of encouragement. Now may our God and Father, and it's almost like a prayer. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. In other words, if it's God's will for us to see you face to face, to supply what is lacking in your faith, that we are encouraged, we're walking on cloud nine, so to speak, but God will make a way to you. Verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase, abound, and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. What a beautiful prayer that could be even for one another, that we could pray that prayer for one another. Lord, I pray that the Lord would make, you could fill in the blank, so-and-so increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as I do for them or we do for you, so that that person would be established and their hearts would become blameless in holiness before God and the Father. Paul says, God is the source of encouragement. Isaiah 46:6 says, even to your old age, as he is talking to Israel, he says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Wow. Our Lord, our God, and our Father himself, he understands what we go through. He knows what is going on. He is aware, and he is committed to you and to me. Not just when we came to Christ by faith, but as we walk with Christ day by day, and until he returns, until we see him face to face, he will carry you. He will sustain you. He will rescue you, our Lord Jesus. And he will make a way. Even as that little chorus says, when there seems to be no way, he will make a way. As we commit ourselves to the Lord, that encouragement comes from God. Verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase. That word means to have more than enough. So he's saying, I'm praying for you Thessalonian believers that you will increase, that you will have more than enough. And then what's that next word? That you will abound in love for one another. In other words, that you will exist in full quantity of love, that you will abundantly be furnished with love for one another. It's going to be overflowing, bubbling over. You just cannot stop it. That love for one another, you will increase, you will abound. And it comes from who? The Lord. He is the source that you will have love for one another, for all, as we do for you. And what's the purpose? Look at that. For there's a so that. So that. So that, verse 13, he may establish your hearts. Again, that idea that I'm standing immovable. I've been firmly planted on the rock. I'm not going to be tossed about by the waves of the ocean or doubt. I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm able to stand in the Lord. He says, so that you will be able to stand immovable, establish in your hearts that way, that you'll become blameless in holiness. In other words, free from accusation. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. In other words, here's the truth. Here's the promise. Here's the word. Here's the hope. Christ is coming again. And we can rejoice in that. We can look forward to that. We can count on it. It is true. And he says to them, my brothers and sisters, I long to be with you, but I even long more for you to be blameless in holiness at the return of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. Deep, deep encouragement. So, what does that mean then for you and me? What is God saying to us? How can we be like a Timothy? How can we be like Paul? How can we be like the Thessalonian believers? Who has encouraged you in your walk with God? Who has encouraged you? Who have you encouraged in their walk with God? How have you been blessed when you hear someone else's growth as they've increased in their faith with the Lord and how God has blessed them? How has encouragement from others helped you grow in your faith? What do you think would happen if you were never encouraged in the faith? There was a time when I would studying guitar, classical guitar, and every summer at Stetson University for about 10 years off and on, they would have a two-week camp where you could go and learn from masters on the guitar. And this one particular year, I practiced my fingers off. I thought I was ready, and I went and played for this professor, among other guitar students, being the older guy, and played. And this one professor of guitar that wasn't there, but had come from another university to share his gifts and so on, just with a critical eye looked at me and he said, "Why did you choose that piece of music?" And he said, "Who told you to play that piece? You shouldn't be playing that piece. In fact, you shouldn't even play guitar at all. You should just quit." And I'm dead serious. And it just was like taking a knife to my heart and going, chunk, 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 chunk. I was so encouraged by those words. No. I was so discouraged by those words. I felt defeated. I felt, wow, I've spent all my life doing what? And so I went to my teacher at the time and told him about it, and he goes, "Oh, that's just the farthest thing from the truth." And he started to encourage me. "It's okay. You can do better. It's okay. You're a good player. It's okay." So after about 2 weeks of nauseam, I picked the guitar back up. We need words of encouragement. What would happen if you were never encouraged in your walk with God? What does this tell you about the importance of encouraging others and being encouraged, the importance of fellowship in the family of God? And then how can you encourage others tonight in their walk with the Lord? Through prayer, through spoken words of affirmation, to lift up, to build up, not tear down and put down, but to sincerely encourage one another. In fact, even at the end of chapter 4, we're going to come back to that, because he says in verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. We're to build each other up. We're to encourage one another. Paul here loved these believers deeply and greatly. He was excited about their growth in the Lord. He recognized that God was the source of encouragement, and he was so grateful and thankful over Timothy's encouraging report. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight to our hearts. We thank you that it is your desire that the body of Christ be built up. We know that, Lord, your word is going forth and it will not return empty. We know that your word as spoken and as applied to lives, Lord, you do a transformational work, a good work, a new work. And we pray that you will help us to be those brothers and sisters in the faith who are known as encouragers, who long to enjoy each other's fellowship, just like Paul longed to be with the Thessalonians and the Thessalonians longed to be with Paul. And Lord, that we are encouraged by each other's growth in the Lord. And in those times of struggle, in those times of difficulty, may we come alongside each other and hold each other up in prayer, that we may show love. Love that is abounding, love that is increasing, because it's from you. So Lord, do that good work that you've begun in our hearts, knowing that you'll complete it upon that day when we see you face to face. Help us to speak the truth in love and help us to encourage each other. And we thank you for what you're going to do in these days ahead. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.